There is a book here.
Ah, it has appeared. And is there a Bhagavatam verse?
What?
275. Yeah. After all, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The service to Srimad Bhagavatam is nitya, is eternal. It just carries on. Sabda pare cha nisnatam brahmani upasam asrayam. Srila Prabhupada explains one should always bathe in transcendental sound, just as we are bathing daily in water. I couldn't appear without a bath, you know, so I managed that. But the bath of sound is more important, and that still has to happen. 275. This is not 275. There's no 275 here. This ends at 6.
It's all right.
Huh? Rome Canto?
Maybe.
So, the Bhaktivedanta manner is very much the headquarters of Srila Prabhupada in Europe. And as such, Srila Prabhupada was here. And gathering his forces to spread Krishna consciousness, and still today, the Bhaktivedanta manor has that mandate, right? That mandate to be a place from where Krishna consciousness emanates all across the European continent, right? And that is a very major mandate, not only in terms of quantity, but in terms of quality, in terms of substance, and entering deep into the substance of Krishna consciousness. The Bhaktivedanta manor has become a model of innovation. You know, so many different preaching strategies and approaches have been developed over time, and that is wonderful. The Bhaktivedanta manor also has become a place of tradition. What else could it be in the UK? And that tradition is a spiritual tradition. So that also is very valuable. Then there were battles to somehow or other keep the temple open. And from these battles came a very powerful support base. And from that everything developed. Yeah, so a lot achieved. But then in this movement, we don't look back at how much is achieved. We look forward. Once our Parasaram told me, you know, we were speaking about having a retreat, and Parasaram said, "Don't retreat, go forward." a typical Parasaram. But he does go forward, I must say. He never sat still for a moment. He moved on and on, following in the footsteps of Tribhuvanath, who inspired the entire yatra with his fearless, tireless, deep dedication to Srila Prabhupada. His unalloyed. There's nothing he would not do for Srila Prabhupada. This will always be the strength of the Bhaktivedanta manor, to just dedicate ourselves to Srila Prabhupada and his teachings, his desires. when we saw before this whole pandemonium of the last few years, oh, that's the wrong word, I think. Or maybe not. Before all that, we saw a book distribution marathon with over 200,000 books distributed in the Bhaktivedanta manner. Now, that was something. That was something significant. Right? And we pray that we recover from the virus and once again, right, return to such efforts, because there we become empowered, because there we simply take what Srila Prabhupada, what pleased him. It's good, I'm happy. Yeah. What pleased him, touching the Bhagavatam was auspicious. It pleased him. It pleased him. And that is the essence. Let us somehow or other do that which pleases Srila Prabhupada. And this stands there for times to come. Times are changing. That's the nature of times. Cultures are changing. That's the nature of cultures. But the core, the essence of Krishna consciousness doesn't change. What Srila Prabhupada came to give is eternal. And that eternity, that which doesn't change, that is very wonderful. Satsarup Maharaj, he tells a little story how an old friend of him came and he tried to impress his friend. And he said, you know, Prabhupada speaks from ancient scriptures that are more than 5,000 years old, right? So he tried to establish, you know, here we're not just making up something. Here we're speaking from a real tradition. And his friend said, well, I think it's more important to deal with contemporary issues, you know, rather than things from 5,000 years old. Yes, his friend did not understand the eternal nature of the message of the Bhagavad Gita and the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam was very much at the core of Srila Prabhupada's mission. He carried the first canto in several parts. And he carried that across the Atlantic in the Jaladuta, on the Jaladuta. Srimad Bhagavatam was the very essence of what he was teaching, as it was the very essence of what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. Srimad Bhagavatam is the sum and substance. The tenth canto is translated under the title as the summum bonum, or the ultimate good. The ultimate good, the summum bonum. So particularly these pastimes of Krishna, which are not described in Bhagavad Gita, but which are elaborately found in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the essence. And Prabhupada summarized it in the Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada said he wanted Srimad Bhagavatam in every house on the planet. Well, that's something. What are we doing about it? That's a question. Individually and collectively. How are we part of that? When you think about it. And Srila Prabhupada was absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very... Srila Prabhupada was a householder, and as such, he also had to deal with worldly affairs, as householders do. So he worked for Bose Laboratories and his pharmacy in Allahabad and all these things. And during that time, Prabhupada was also absorbed in Krishna consciousness. When we hear Srila Prabhupada speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, his lectures are very chaste to the text, and very kind of giving examples, using analogies, all based on the Bhagavatam, very much so. Therefore we can appreciate how much time he must have spent throughout his life with Srila Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not that just at a late stage in life when he took Vanaprastha that he began to read. We can understand that throughout a lifetime, he read Srimad Bhagavatam. And so, in his old age, that ripened fruit of a lifetime of associating with the Srimad Bhagavatam manifested. The Bhagavatam describes the culture of pure devotional service. Dharma prujita kaitavu, no cheating religion, but simply pure devotional service. Savai pumsa paru dharmo yato bhaktir adoksa je. Because yayatma supersedati, only this can fully satisfy. So, satisfaction is the strength of this movement. In the introduction to the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains that he says when he speaks about taste, and he says, without taste, nothing moves, he writes there. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he describes there, taste, the mellow. And without taste, nothing moves. That is very true. The strength of this movement is the taste, is where we're actually appreciating the wonderful features of Krishna consciousness. This entire week, I have been sort of reading about Putana, and I've been meditating on this verse, Aho Bhakiyam Stanakala Kutam, Jikam Zeha Bhayayat Apiasadvi, describing that Putana, although she was Asadvi, she was not saintly. She is not saintly. But despite that fact, she rendered some service, although that service was covered by poison. She had put poison on the nipple of her breast. Her aim was to kill Krishna, but within the process of doing so, she also offered her breast milk to Krishna, which Krishna then took as service. Oh, you are my mother. And so he accepted her as Datri. He accepted her as a mother, as a nurse, gave her an eternal position in the spiritual world. And then Bhagavatam is just, the verse is just carrying on with Kam vadayarum saranam brajema. So much appreciating that mercy, that inconceivable mercy. And the point is there about saranam, dayalum saranam. So these two words, dayalum saranam, taking shelter. Saranam means taking shelter. Dayanum means the mercy, to take shelter of that mercy. That is actually the very principle. Obviously, drawing a parallel between Putana and ourselves, then we can also see that our service certainly has been mixed with many, with sinful thoughts and desires. In some cases, also a few sinful activities, although we should not submit, but what to do? Durgame patimendasya skalatpada gatirmuhu. The path is difficult, the feet are slipping. But Srila Prabhupada was fully aware. He was not at all shocked at the level of degradation in this age of Kali. Although he was a transcendental personality, one devotee presented the Freudian philosophy of the Oedipus complex, which basically, where Freud pointed out, every man desires to have sex with his mother, right? Sigmund Freud. And Prabhupada said, you know, maybe that's true in your case, but not in mine. Which is, yeah, so nice. But it also illustrates that, yes, maybe within us there are some remnants of material poison. Material poison that we somehow or other became attached to. One wrong click on the internet to a wrong site. And before you know it, you're in one of those, 12-step programs. You know, there are many groups like that now. Yeah, 12-step programs for devotees with addictions to the wrong click. Yeah. So, just to illustrate a little bit how this weakness, how this poison is there. It is Srimad Bhagavatam that is our anchor. We are not a movement of merely garlands and flowers, of pomp and of red carpets, of trumpets and bugles, of banana trees at the entranceway and pots with scented water and rose petals being thrown along the pathway. There is more to spiritual life than that. And that is Nityam Bhagavatam Sevya. It is through Srimad Bhagavatam that we are to be transformed. It is that Srimad Bhagavatam that gives us a model. And Bhagavatam can work in different ways. It can act like a thunderbolt in the heart of the demon. It can crack the hard heart of the demon. The Bhagavatam can enlighten the ignorant. And for the devotee, the Bhagavatam can inspire. And we can look into this Bhagavatam like a mirror, seeing ourselves in comparison to all these personalities that are described here, all these great devotees. Who are we? Just like here, the verse of today is reading Taptam tapo vivida loka shishiksaya me adu sanat swatapasa swachatusano bhut prakilpa samplava vinastam ihatma tatvam sam yak jagada muneyo yat achak satatman. To create different planetary systems, I had to undergo austerities and penance. And the Lord, thus being pleased with me, incarnated in four sanas, Sanak, Sanat, Sanandan, and Sanatan. In the previous creation, the spiritual truth was devastated. But the four sanas explained it so nicely that the truth at once became clearly perceived by the sages. In his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Srila Sanatan Goswami is describing how Sanat Kumar is a Shakti Avesh avatar. And then he describes how Sanat Kumar is the being an eternal brahmachari, is particularly the presiding personality of the planet of the brahmacharis, which is Siddhaloka. And he's saying that there, that Sanat Kumar, he is sometimes present there on that planet as an effulgent personality, and other times he is residing in the spiritual world. So he is completely a transcendental personality who descends to inspire. So Srimad Bhagavatam in this way is describing these extraordinary personalities who are perfect. Now, we obviously are not perfect, but by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not merely an intellectual exercise. We can have systematic studies of scripture in trying to grasp what is actually being said here. What is written? What is the message? What really? And in intricate detail, we can certainly study. And that is valuable. But reading Srimad Bhagavatam is not an intellectual exercise. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam is bringing about a change of heart. There's a chapter that is dedicated to that with that title, The Change of Heart. And this Srimad Bhagavatam, it changes our heart by giving us a transcendental taste. And it is stated that the living being by nature is Anandamai Vyasat, Vedanta Sutra. So by nature we are Anandamai Vyasat, or by nature we are pleasure seeking. Therefore, wherever we think that pleasure is to be found, that is where we deposit our faith. If you think it's about money, then your faith will be in money. And so on and so on. So Bhagavatam is giving us that faith in Krishna and in pure devotional service. And that is the exclusive topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end is describing the process, or is describing pure devotional service. That's it. So let this Srimad Bhagavatam be the inspiration in our life. And let us always read it, just as we hear about Sanatan Goswami, who in Bhakti Ratnakar just explained that when he was a young man, he had a dream. And that in this dream, a brahmana came to the door and presented him with a Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, in those days, there was no printing press, so it meant handwritten. And obviously, there were Brahmana scribes who were hand-copying manuscripts, and it was easier to do a Gita, 750 verses against 18,000, you know, like cramping your hand from copying 18,000. So there were not that many copies of Bhagavatam. It was a rare thing. So in the dream, Sanatana Goswami received the Bhagavatam. He was elated. Then he woke up. Oh, it was only a dream. But later that day, that Brahmana actually came and gave him the real Bhagavatam. That made it even more special. It was already so special to get the Bhagavatam, but then it was arranged like this. And then we read later in Stavamala, he writes that Bhagavatam was his constant companion. So this is really Nityam Bhagavata Sevya. This is our business. Therefore, I definitely wanted to, you may want to offer a special reception and I guess a farewell or something like that, which is very kind of you. What can I say? Although, as a Dutchman, we are the anti-protocol country, and England is the epitome of protocol. So the combination of the Dutch and the British in that regard have always been a little complicated. The Indian community, who came from Vedic culture, which, you know, they're not small boys either when it comes to protocol. That was like a marriage made in heaven between the British and the Indian. Don't just think that it was an occupation. Oh no, it went much deeper. There was a natural recognition of protocol. So I know it's your way to express your love, affection, respect and all that, and your gratitude. I can only say thank you. And I'm always glad when these things are over. But I want to take advantage and get down to brass tacks, you know, to real business, right? Which is the Bhagavatam, no matter what. Right? So I felt like I'm not going to let them hijack the Bhagavatam class, you know, for Kadambakanana Swami, who is somehow or other received mercy, a lot of mercy, but who is otherwise from a Putana stock, you know. I mean, like, you know, somewhere in our family lineage, my great-great-grandmother was none other than Putana herself. And some of the remnants of her inclinations remained in the family. And even today, you know, some of my family members have fangs and all kinds of such things. You know, and I will not speak about what they like to drink, but it's very similar to Putana, who liked the blood of babies. So tasty. Yeah, so. Therefore, due to that Putana effect in my family lineage, in my genes, in my deeply ingrained, I've also mixed some poison in my devotional service here consistently. I never failed. Right? And I've been good in hiding it also. So, but the truth of the matter is at the end of our life, looking back at many years in devotional service, we can appreciate that it's just all about mercy. Sometimes I say, I haven't changed a bit. I'm still the same one. I always was, you know. Ask my school teachers, you know. They could tell you a story about this guy. Oh, God, I was a terror in school. A rebel. I still am one. Yeah, what to do? I haven't changed a bit. But what has changed is that layer upon layer upon layer of mercy has been placed over that conditioned nature and has just pushed it so deep under the surface that it's almost no longer visible. And, of course, I know very well it's there. But I don't care. I don't care anymore. Now I am remembering Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is basically saying, he says, I am lower than a worm in stool. Anyone who gets my association loses all his pious credits. But how amazing it is that one as I has received the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we live on this by this mercy. We survive by this mercy. And the beauty of this verse, Aho Bhakiyam, are these words, Dayalum Sharanam. Dayalu Sharanam. All that I realize now is, let me take shelter. Let me take shelter. Now, sometimes I've been reluctant. I've been resisting this mercy. God, do we really have to do all this? God, yeah, I mean, you know. You know what I'm talking about. I just chant again. I just finished. it was like, gosh. I mean, you know, you can't be fanatic, can you? Can you? Nah. Come on, you know. Come on, relax. I mean, can have some fun, can you? Of course. It's okay, isn't it? Because it can go too far. One couple told me that they drank a bottle of wine for the birthday of the wife. And then he said, and the amazing thing was, I didn't feel any less Krishna conscious. There you go. My response was, because you were drunk. just an illustration, you know, of like how far we take it sometimes. A little bit too far. Right? Yeah. Yeah. And there's a magazine called India Today, right? And that's exactly what that magazine is about. They took it a little too far. Like, I come into the office of some Indian gentleman, wealthy businessman, and he says, I don't worship Krishna, I worship Shivas, Regal. Yeah, the whiskey. Said, yeah. My answer to that was, yeah, still colonized by the British. That hurt a bit. He deserved it. Yeah, so we have to deal with our impurity in the midst of this ocean of mercy. And somehow or other, let us take shelter of this ocean of mercy. Let us take shelter. And again. So, yes, therefore, again, Bhagavatam. Let's make it a part of a culture, part of a habit. All right, yes, I got to read my Bhagavatam, because just as much as I have to brush my teeth, I have to read the Bhagavatam. I hope you brush your teeth. I hope you read the Bhagavatam. If not, we'll help you. So, to create different planetary systems, I had to undergo austerities and penance. Clearly, Lord Brahma is speaking. And the Lord, thus being pleased with me, incarnated in four sanas, Sanat Kumar, Sanandan, and Sanatan. In the previous creation, the spiritual truth was devastated, but the four sanas explained it so nicely that the truth at once became clearly perceived by the sages. It shows Krishna doesn't leave us alone. Krishna makes arrangements. He sent his empowered incarnations, his Shakti Avesh avatars, to disseminate knowledge in a very clear way into this world, so that the sages were able to perceive the absolute truth, and so that parampara could take place. And sometimes I have these... Oh, one sec, this leg is beginning to fall asleep. Which means I'm talking too long. Sometimes I have a vision of the parampara, and I see Lord Chaitanya, the Panchatattva, dancing up front. I see the six Goswamis. I see Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. I see Narottam Das Thakur. I see Jagannath Das Babaji, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I see Baladev Vijayabhusan. I see Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, and so on. And there's a whole caravan of wonderful Vaishnavas. And then in the back, there's us, right? Whatever. And if you just compare, you know, what's up front, and if you look at what's in the back, us. But somehow or other, we are there too, right? In that same transcendental caravan. That's the amazing mercy, although, you know, who are we? Satsarupa Maharaj summed it up. He said, Lord Ramachandra had to build a bridge to Lanka with monkeys, and Prabhupada had to do it with hippies from the Lower East Side. So, that's very interesting. Anyway, all I can say is, it's mercy. And this mercy is so glorious that there's no need to be afraid, because we are protected by it. We are protected. Death is in itself something gruesome. At least in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it looks pretty terrible when the universal form is crunching up the warriors of the battlefield of Kurukshetra as if they are potato crisps. Right? I tell you, that's a bit intense, right? You have these medieval paintings, there's like one about death, and it's just like the agents of death are slaughtering everyone. It's brutal, yeah. Or they have these movies, Faces of Death. Yeah. But if I take my mask off, what's behind? The face of death. And if you take yours off, the same thing. So all these temporary identities. Goodbye, goodbye. These days, I'm saying goodbye everywhere. Goodbye, London. This is probably going to be the last trip, you know. I was in the Netherlands in my getting a visa for India, my last stop on the Dutch beach where I grew up. Goodbye, beach. ain't coming back. No, no, not another berth on that beach. It's nice, nice beach, but not any beach at all, right? The banks of the Yamuna, please, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, with the soft sand, you see, where Krishna picnics in places where there are no footprints, because there the sand is clean. The silver Yamuna sand, let me go there. That's my beach. Like that. Goodbye. Goodbye. I was in Oxford, and maybe once upon a time, I wanted to be a bit scholarly, but I also said in Oxford, goodbye to scholarship. Right? Ultimately, you know, let's just turn to reading in a prayerful mood. Let's just take shelter of a few books and just read and just be absorbed and take shelter of that mercy. Focus. Krishna, who is so kind. He gave Putana. He gave her shelter. So we need not be afraid. Even if Krishna would not give us shelter, Lord Chaitanya's mercy is added, and Nityananda's, and even if that wouldn't work, in the end, Prabhupada is there. So, we're sitting pretty, we're sitting high and dry. We're sitting pretty good. The shelter is there. And now, we just, all we need to do is again and again take shelter in all the different aspects of mercy that are available. I'll just read the purport out of respect for Bhagavatam. Purport. The Vishnu Sahasranam prayers mention the Lord's name as Sanat and Sanatanatama. The Lord and the living energies are both qualitatively Sanatan or eternal, but the Lord is Sanatantama, or the eternal in superlative degree. The living entities are positively Sanatan, but not superlatively, because the living beings are apt to fall to the atmosphere of non-eternity. Therefore, the living beings are quantitatively different from the superlative Sanatan, the Lord. Yes. It's a suitable purport for what I was discussing, because, yes, it is through that mercy of the Lord that we can say goodbye to this temporary domain and leave all these temporary relationships and just get absorbed through the mercy in our eternal relationship with Krishna. The word san is also used in the sense of charity. Therefore, when everything is given up in charity unto the Lord reciprocates by giving himself unto the devotee. That's it. Everything. Whatever energy. Pranirartha diyavacha. Our energy, prana, our possessions, our wealth, our intelligence. All these we have to pull back from these material things and offer them to Krishna. Of course, you know, when it comes to that, I'm probably going to fail. I've failed every time I tried that. So, I mean, you know. That one, I'm probably not going to be able to do, not all. But anyway, then, Putana also didn't offer everything. So there's hope. If my great-great-great-great-grandmother made it, then I can make it too. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.11. Yeyatamam prapadyante. Brahmaji wanted to create the whole cosmic situation as it was in the previous millennium. And because in the last devastation, knowledge of the absolute truth was altogether erased from the universe, he desired that the same knowledge again be renovated. Otherwise, there would be no meaning in the creation. Because transcendental knowledge is a prime necessity, the ever-conditioned souls are given a chance for liberation in every millennium of creation. This mission of Brahmaji was fulfilled by the grace of the Lord when the four sanas, namely Sanak, Sanat Kumar, Sanandan, and Sanatan, appeared as his four sons. These four sanas were incarnations of the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, and as such, they explained transcendental knowledge so explicitly that all the sages could at once assimilate this knowledge without the least difficulty. By following in the footsteps of the four Kumaras, one can at once see the Supreme Personality of Godhead within oneself. So, here, very simple. Our path is chalked out. Instead of, I'm glad all the phones are on flight mode and that we're actually reading the Bhagavatam. This is one of my plans. Yes, I'm going to Vrindavan. You have heard the rumor. Well, one thing I'm going to do after a little while, I'll give it a little while to wind things up, but at one point, I'm going to turn off the internet. Okay. My God. My God. My God. Off. Just pull the plug. Yay, that will be a glorious day. And then I'm just going to read about Krishna and hear about Krishna. And that's pretty simple. Tribhuvanath liked to quote that he was there when Srila Prabhupada came. He was chosen to be the one to give the garland to Srila Prabhupada. But when Prabhupada came in, his presence was so overwhelmingly strong and everyone just fell on the ground. Tribhuvanath also fell on the ground and Prabhupada walked past and he never got to offer his garland. So then it was a difficult thing to offer the garland, but he climbed over everyone somehow or other and offered the garland. And then finally, then Prabhupada gave a lecture. And in that lecture, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might just miss it. Yeah, I've been missing that. The day, the world from before the internet. Pull the plug. I'm sure once we turn it off, life will again become simple. And then there are books. A few, not too many, just a few. And we simply read about the four Kumaras. And we connect with knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's more wonderful than that? That is what is my meditation, and knowing very well that I'm not qualified. I've only one worry. I'm still not in Vrindavan. It could still go wrong. Oh my God, I hope I'm going to make it. Because I need that mercy of the Dham. I need all the mercy I can get. I spent some time in that holy Dham, and I remember, and we had, of course, many great festivals, as is natural in such a holy place. And in particularly, the Disappearance Day of Srila Prabhupada was every year celebrated. And that was not only our festival, that was the festival of the people of Vrindavan, because they also considered him theirs. So on that day, many of them would come and would speak. And some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers came. So I remember how his godbrother, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, came when he was 93. He lived till over 100. But when he was 93, he was carried by four brahmacharis who could barely walk. They were holding him up. And then at one point, they dropped him on the Vyasasa. It's kind of like, oh, must be intense to be 93. They dropped him on the Vyasasa. And then he said, he said something very simple. He said, Swamiji, referring to Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji made you all into Vaishnavas. He said, and Vaishnavas can give blessings. So you all, please bless me, he said. And it was very nice, because I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, yeah, here's someone who's 93 years old. He's looking death in the face, obviously. He can die any moment. And he's thinking, yeah, what I have to offer Krishna, my life of devotional service, is meager. It's meager. It may not be enough. Therefore, I need to add whatever I can. And all Vaishnavas have credit with Krishna because they've done service. So if they give their blessings, Krishna will be more inclined. So therefore, let me get the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. So in the same way, I'll repeat his words today. You know, Srila Prabhupada made you all Vaishnavas, and Vaishnavas can give blessings. So you please all bless me. That will be, I need that on my journey to Vrindavan. So kindly, be generous and bestow your blessings upon me. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Yeah, and after that, unfortunately, my health conditions forces me to visit the restroom, as they call it, very frequently. So,
yeah. So we'll take one or two questions, then Marge will just take a break, and then we'll just come back and just conclude this morning. So if anyone has a question they would like to ask. Yes, Marge, you can choose this many hands.
No, you're choosing. You're the master of ceremonies. You're responsible for all
I'll
this.
I'll go to the person who's closest.
Hare Krishna, Marge. What is your vision for the manor, for the devotees here? What would make you happy?
My vision for the manor. All big projects are obviously facilities to all temples, all preaching centers, all projects. Part of this movement are facilities to bring more and more Krishna consciousness into this world. So that's the mission. Then when you have the bigger projects, they require more time. Yeah. And they require a more systematic approach to build up the preaching. When you have a small preaching center, you know, you just, okay, you have a strategy, a program, and you start, and there it is, you know, it's up and running. But to get a place like the manor up and running takes a lot of work. Now, time has passed. From the days that Srila Prabhupada was seated on the lawn, right? From the days that he was seated here on his Vyasasan, from that last visit to the manor, when Prabhupada was upstairs with his dark glasses, speaking about eternity. From those days, things have moved on, and so much has been done. But a place like this, a large place, it requires a lot of time to build up the facility in such a way that it becomes, that we get the maximum benefit from, in terms of spreading Krishna consciousness. And So the manor must be a place of high-level practices, practices of all the devotees who are connected to it. There must be substance. There must be serious penetration into the chanting of the holy name, into studying the books, into Vaishnava etiquette, into really treating each other with the greatest respect, in worshipping the deities very gorgeously, and in taking care of the cows. In this way, when things are strong on the spiritual platform, then the preaching will be powerful. So I feel the current, due to history, the manor developed in a certain way. When the surrounding environment wanted to close down the manor, then there's a big campaign and the Indian community became very involved. There was a road made the community grew even to a point where the government began to recognize us, and Tony Blair and recognized the movement, and his daughter was sent to open the temple in Delhi, just because we're representing a block of votes, right? Our dignitaries have had had personal meetings with Her Majesty the Queen. In other words, so much has been achieved, and we have souvenirs, right, annually. And the word souvenir is just a French word for remembering. So we are remembering. All right, it's good to remember and to build on our memories and to expand and to go to the core substance and to preach, to teach, to reach out to so many people. We cannot spend too much time in just nourishing ourselves. Yeah. And we have another gathering and there is cake. That's very good if it's prasadam. But yeah, somehow or other, the manor has only one principal purpose: to spread the mercy. And we should branch out into the city of London. We should reach many people. We should diversify. We should find many novel ways to vigorously preach Krishna consciousness. I think that was Srila Prabhupada's desire. And I leave it up to the visionaries to, like yourself and many others, to fill it in. And I am going to be a little aloof from all these things. Read the Bhagavata. Chansamark, little kirtan. That I will do. So thank you. One final question. You're the master, sir. Or somebody is.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Firstly, I think not only myself, but I'm sure many others are very grateful for the amount of time that you've spent with us, the many years that you've come, for your kirtans and classes. And I'm sure we're all feeling that we are going to miss you.
We'll meet soon. There's another ISKCON up there, Prabhupada said.
Okay. And
maybe I'll come back down after a while as well. If I'll make it to the spiritual world, I guess. Couldn't miss out on everything. Gotta come back for London Ratiyatra.
Maharaj, my question is that what gives you the confidence to continue on your journey on into your next chapter of your life?
The confidence? Well, I mean, how can we not be confident, right? When it comes confidence, it actually is also a Latin word, right? Confidence is also, and it's related to faith, right? So, faith. When it comes to faith, we have all these things. We have the Bhagavatam. We have tasted prasadam. We have tasted kirtan. Ratri Yatra is coming up on Radhastami. Very interesting. There's a taste. So we have tasted. And Srila Prabhupada is tasting more than all of us. Remember the 1973 Ratha Yatra? How he danced in front of the chariot? So Srila Prabhupada is our shortcut. He is our living proof. Simply his persona is enough to believe that it's all true. So, there's no doubt. I mean, how can there be doubt in front of such an example? Yeah. So then the only doubt left is doubt in ourselves. Right? If we don't have any doubt in the teachings, don't have any doubt in the philosophy, then the only doubt left is doubt in ourselves. But if we doubt in ourselves, it's an indirect way of doubting the process. If we don't believe that this process can transform us, just like me from Amsterdam, yeah, you know what Amsterdam's like, I think, right? A little bit, do you? I could show you a few places, you know. I mean, I know it like the back of my hand, right? Thoroughly sinful, thoroughly sinful. Recently, we did the Harinam. I happened to be there for the gay pride, you know. And we did the Harinam on the gay pride. And then there was one street. Whoa. That was hardcore. They were hardcore. I mean, hardcore. Very hard. Anyway. But all I was thinking, these people, they run into the desert, you know, after this illusion that now they found another type of sex and that's going to do it. And you're just going to like, they're not going to get that happiness they're looking for. Because of Srila Prabhupada, I have that firm belief. I could just look through it. All these people, they're so happy with their liberation and their newfound, finally, you know, true to myself. Come out of the closet. How wonderful. It's a lie. It's a lie. Now I know the truth because of Prabhupada. That's where we can be sure. You see. So therefore, dear devotees, find out whatever you can about Srila Prabhupada. Now, somehow or other, Srila Prabhupada's disciples are bringing us so much about Srila Prabhupada. Our Yadubar Prabhu is here, who has so wonderfully spent his life filming Srila Prabhupada, right? And watch these movies 100 times over, you know. Watch them all, you know. It's like the very early ones, right? Till the latest, the mature fruit, right, of a lifetime of filming Srila Prabhupada. What can I say? I am greatly indebted to Yadavar Prabhu for that. Well, it's like... Not just like, okay, thanks, you know, but not just a thank you, Yadavar, but you changed my life. What can I say? Your work has changed my life. Then there's this Adi Karta, still goes in Harinam. What are you now? 70, what? Huh? 76, 77, 78, what? Anyway, he's over the hill, that's for sure. But nothing can stop him. It's unstoppable. There's a whole generation of him here in the UK. Mahavishnu Swami Adi Karta. What is it? Even Jananda Goswami is from that mold, you know. These Burry Place guys, they are just unstoppable, incredible. All of these servants of Srila Prabhupada, you know, each one reinforces our strengths. Yeah. Let's just serve them. Let's just try and give a life like they did. Let's just do it. And then even one, you know, in the family lineage of Putana and Kamsa. That was the name of my grandfather. Yeah. Can still be successful. That is amazing. Okay, so I have to attend to the body. So I thank you very much for your kind welcome, goodbye, everything all in one. thank you so much for your kind affection. And please don't forget to bless me. Hare Krishna.